Welcome to another episode of Code for Thought. I'm Selena Aragon, Communications Lead at the Software Sustainability Institute.
And I'm Jacqueline Laird, Communications Officer at the Software Sustainability Institute.
And today we're here to present the Learning to Code program as part of the Research Software Camp Beyond the Spreadsheet.
Our research software camps introduce and explore a different topic around research software. They run for 2 weeks with content including panel discussions, live Q&As, workshops, guides, blogs, and more. This podcast is part of our research software camp, Beyond the Spreadsheet, focusing on the uses of spreadsheets in research and the next steps into early use of software. Since September, we've been running a Learning to Code programme, in which volunteer research software engineers have been mentoring researchers to help them learn a coding language of their choice. In this podcast, we'll be speaking to the researchers about their experiences of learning to code.
We're here with Amira and Emma, two of our volunteers. I would like to ask them to introduce themselves briefly and their mentors too.
Hello, I'm Dr. Emma Karoon and I work at the Alan Turing Institute as a research associate and community manager for the DECOVID project. And my mentor was Jamie Quinn, who is a research software engineer at University College London Centre for Advanced Research Computing.
And I'm Amira, I'm a psychology graduate. I currently work as a content writer and I have an interest in computer science. So I was interested in how programming can be applied to academic research. My mentor was Sadie, who is a computational scientist at the National Centre for Atmospheric Science.
Thank you very much, both. And I was wondering if you could talk to us about your project. How did you come up with the idea? What language you wanted to learn? Was it related to your current work or project?
So my project was to redo an analysis that I had previously done, a qualitative analysis. I'd done it in Excel. And so I wanted to do sort of reproduce that analysis in R. So I had already done some basic training in R, so I was familiar with it, but I just found it very difficult to move to the next level to actually bring my own project into that coding language.
And for my project, it was inspired by my experience as a psychology student, where I often used spreadsheets to do data manipulation before statistical analysis. And so in my project, I wanted to sort of automate those manipulation processes using Python. And I used a data set from a neuroscience internship that I completed recently that I was meant to analyze. But I used the code that I learned from Python to make that more automatic and quick.
And what drew you to the Learning to Code program?
I wanted some accountability was one of the main things I was looking for, because in my job, this particular bit of research isn't related to what I'm doing at the moment, but I really wanted to advance my skills for sort of future projects. So having the mentor and knowing that I was having to meet with him regularly actually drove me forward in actually working with R. The other thing was just having someone to ask questions to, because I think when you do a course in a large group, sometimes it's you don't think of the questions until afterwards, and it's very different doing analysis on a different data set. You come up with different problems because you're doing a different sort of analysis. So just having someone that I could store up my questions and then I could have a meeting with Jamie and go over the different questions with him, that was incredibly useful.
That sounds like you had a really good plan working with Jamie. And I was wondering if you could talk us through some of the milestones that you set for your project.
Yeah, so as I said, I'd already done the Carpentries R, Beginners R course. My first milestone was actually just to go through that course again myself to sort of familiarise myself with all the different parts, like data transformation and then the data analysis and all the visualization part that's included in the course. And then I picked out one of the figures that I had done the analysis for and then plotted in Excel. I worked on that figure. And actually, I found that I progressed very quickly. So actually, we turned it from being quite a basic figure into a much more complex figure. And then we actually had time to move on to other figures that I had created within that last bit of research. So we actually got a lot more done than actually I thought we would get done. So I'm very happy with the result, actually.
Thank you, Emma.
And Amira, what drew you to applying for the Learning to Code programme?
I found out about research software engineering, I think, a month before seeing the research software camp. And when I seen the focus on both spreadsheets, which I'd experienced a lot in psychology research, and wanting to learn more about research software engineering, I thought it was just a perfect opportunity to be able to actually speak to someone and work on something and get directly involved in the community early on.
And what about some of the milestones that you went through while working with Sadie?
So one of the first things that we decided would be best for me to do was get familiar with basic Python and also the basics of the OpenPyXL library, which I used. So I spent the first 2-3 weeks on that and really getting to grips with the syntax of the language. And then throughout our meetings, we went through planning, thinking of how I could actually apply what I was learning to the project. So we did a lot of making steps and lists so that I could wrap my head around it before I actually began to code. And then some of the other milestones was actually drafting the first lot of code and attempting to put it all together. And then I had a go myself first, and then I went through with Sadie and she helped me figure out all the little things I was confused about, and Google couldn't help me with. It was really nice to be able to speak to her about that.
What would you say was the biggest challenge of the process?
I think one of the biggest challenges was definitely trying to take everything I'd learned and actually apply it to the project, because when I started trying to code the things I wanted to, I couldn't figure out how to get the variables into the places I wanted them to be, what to exactly read in, how to read it back out. So I knew the basics, but actually applying that to something that I wanted to do was a lot more complex. And I spent like quite a few hours Googling, going through the documentation, just trial and error with a couple of things. But I found I learned a lot by doing that.
How did you decide which language to learn to code with?
So I knew that Python-based language is used for things like MATLAB. And I know it's quite a popular language, so I thought it'd be a great opportunity to have someone to teach me that, because I know it's quite complex.
I trained as an archaeologist, and so this project that I was doing is an archaeological project. And so I suppose I didn't really know what language to start with, but I sort of researched what other archaeologists are doing. And so the majority are using R as the analysis. So that's how I chose the language.
Did making your research reproducible play a part in choosing R as a language to work with?
Yeah, I think that's the main reason why I wanted to learn how to code in R, so that I could actually make my whole workflow reproducible. And that's actually something Jamie helped me with, because we talked about initially getting the project set up on GitHub so that I could version control the script that I was producing. And then we talked about how we could use the script in R Markdown to use interactive documents as well. And so they were fully reproducible. So pulling the data in and then doing all the data transformations analysis and then the plotting all in one document, so that it was a completely reproducible workflow.
Great. I know that you're part of the Turing Way, and I was wondering how learning a bit more of R is going to impact your involvement with them.
I'm generally trying to improve coding in all sorts of ways. I'm very familiar with using GitHub, because we use that as a project, and in the Turing in general, we base all our projects, our project management, in GitHub repositories. But I think just interacting with different researchers is really important. And we write mostly about reproducible workflows, so I suppose my understanding will be greater because of this.
And Amira, has the journey in learning to code been what you expected?
I found it more interesting than I initially expected. I thought it would be interesting, but I thought it would also be tedious. And I thought I would struggle a lot going in, even just from tutorial stage to actually coding, I thought it'd be quite difficult to get to grips with, but I found I did understand things quite quickly. And then actually applying it, while it was difficult, I did enjoy the process of researching and finally getting it working. So it's definitely more enjoyable than I expected.
And Emma, how did you find it?
I made a lot of progress, so I'm really happy with the outcomes that I've had in my project. I think I made more progress than I thought I was going to make, which I'm really happy with. And it's actually spurred me on to do even more. I was talking to Jamie about taking some more carpentry courses to sort of expand in a slightly different way.
Would you say that having a mentor impacted on your journey, or would it be the same if you had learned on your own?
I just don't think I would have progressed from the stage that I was. I was at a point where I was a bit stuck, because even though I work at the Alan Turing Institute, which is full up of research software engineers, everybody is very busy doing their own work. So actually to find time in your schedule and in somebody else's schedule to ask questions and help you, that's very difficult. So yeah, the mentor has been really, really valuable.
And what about you, Amira? I know that Sadie answered some of your questions throughout your journey, but could you tell us a bit more?
I think it was also really valuable, one, for accountability. I don't think I would have completed a project like this because it's not relevant to anything I'm doing at the moment. It's something I'm interested in, but I'm not currently in academia. So I don't think I would have done something like this if I didn't have a mentor there. It was also easier because she was able to signpost me to resources, and with there's so many things out there, having someone who's like, I've used this, it's good, I really recommend it, and then being able to talk to someone and ask questions and have even general discussions about how would you use this in research, what have you been doing, and having access to someone who's working in the field was just an amazing experience for me.
Yeah, it sounds like it was, and I'm really glad it worked for both of you.
Can you share some of the resources you mentioned you found helpful, or some tips that you found along the way?
So I found YouTube to be the most useful, and the channels I'd use were Programming with Mosh and Tech with Tim. And the other two things I found useful was actually like cheat sheets and summary sheets that you could find online, especially when I was coding. So it was difficult to scroll back and forth through the video, so having the cheat sheets to look back on was quicker. And then I've never really used documentation, but for the OpenPy Excel library, I found myself actually reading through the documentation to try and figure out what I was doing. And I found that really valuable because I've not really touched the documentation before.
Thanks, Amira. What about you, Emma? Did you have any useful resources you came upon?
For R, there are lots of free books that you can access. They're all written in R Markdown. An example, there's one called the R Cookbook or R Graphics Cookbook that I found really useful for data visualization. But there's lots of different books that you can use, and they're really thorough. So you can search. Usually when you Google your problem, these books come up straight away. So they are incredibly helpful. Another thing that I spoke to Jamie about is that you can actually do the same thing in lots of different ways when you're coding. So you might, in a sense, for example, transforming a data table, you might want to choose certain columns and then join those together. But you can actually do that in lots of different ways. So he was sort of talked me through different ways of doing things. So I think what he was trying to say there is that actually you might find one tutorial that's or one resource that shows you one way, but actually go and look for something else as well, so that you're getting lots of different ideas, because you can get the same result by doing different things.
And what are your plans for the next steps in your coding journey? For example, tutorials, finding an RSE group, working on your own to solve problems.
So I am planning to do some more carpentry courses. It's probably just I need to find the time when to do them. But I am actually an SSI fellow. So I want to just say that you don't have to be a research software engineer to be an SSI fellow. I work as a community manager and generally sort of in sustainability of research. And so I use a lot of software. But I'm working with another fellow at the moment, Alison Clark from Durham University. And actually working with her is great because we've sort of joined forces to work on reproducibility. So I sort of give the open science angle and she is the sort of technical expert in software. But actually, I've been learning a lot from her because we've had a lot of discussions about how you do reproducibility, how you make workflows and how you can build new tools to help you with your research.
And Amira, what are your plans for the next steps?
So I'm stepping a little bit out of academia and research software engineering into web development. So I've been learning web development since last year, or relearning it. I learned a bit at computer science A-level and GCSE. And so this is like having a project like this has given me the confidence to actually use tutorials and go ahead and learn and build at the same time. So I'm going to be building a web application. So I'm hoping to take everything I've learned from here and apply it to a new project.
That sounds really, really good. Maybe later on you can, as in a few months, you can write a blog post for us again and to see where you are.
Yeah, that would be great.
And I guess our final question is, what advice you would give other people who are just starting to learn to code?
So I think, again, actually applying what you've learned to a project, not sort of following tutorials passively, going through them and then taking that knowledge, having a go at mini projects as much as you can. Also being consistent. I was juggling it alongside work and other things, but I found even just doing a little bit each week, really, you could really see the end result. I managed to finish the project. And so trying to be consistent, work on little projects and not give up on it.
I would just say just go for it. I think Amira's right. You just got to practice. I think everyone sees it as quite a big hurdle, but I think that's in most people's minds. I don't think it is as big a hurdle as actually people think. So I think you just have to go for it. There's lots of free courses you can do out there. So go and do a course. And then as Amira said, just work on it yourself, you know, do a little project and just keep going with it.
Thank you, Emma and Amira. It sounds like you both got a lot out of this and it's something that will certainly be useful in the future, whether you continue to work in research or move on to pastures new. And now we're going to talk to our other two volunteers, Jen and Rebecca. Jen, could you please introduce yourself and your mentor briefly?
My name is Jen. I teach research methods to PhD students at SOAS University of London. And my mentor is Mario, who is a research software engineer at the University of Edinburgh.
Thank you very much. And Rebecca, could you please introduce yourself and your mentor briefly?
Yes, so I'm Rebecca Hamilton and I'm a postdoc researcher in biomechanics facility at Cardiff University. And my mentor was Heather Turner, who is a research software engineer at the University of Warwick.
Can you talk to us a bit about your project, how you came up with the idea, what language did you want to learn, and how it related to your current work?
So my project was really, it was born out of my curiosity. So there was, so I wanted to learn more about R. So that was the only language that I had a little bit of a prior exposure to. I didn't know any other computer languages. So basically there was, in The Guardian, they used to run a series called Academics Anonymous. So that was, there was a series of articles that they ran, for a few years. It's a SOC now. And it's basically unnamed authors who are insider of higher education. They basically anonymously wrote about their concerns and frustrations about the sector. And they usually have strong responses from readers on social media and inside their comment boxes below the line. But there was one particular article that kind of received a lot of comments from the readers. It was a kind of an extraordinary number compared to the other articles in the series. So I kind of wanted to test out different techniques to analyze online comments and generally online text. So that was my project.
And what was it that drew you to apply for the Learning to Code program? Was it the fact that you wanted to analyze all of these comments from the Guardian articles, or was it something else related to your current work?
So I teach research methods, and my work is more, my own research is more qualitatively oriented, but because my subject area is digital cultures and digital politics, so I tend to get drawn into projects where, we deal big data, we deal a lot of digital methods, and it's always collaborative projects, and I kind of interact well with colleagues who use more of those techniques. But I wanted to be more hands-on with the coding myself. So the project was kind of born for this program, although I was interested beforehand, but it was more to kind of expand my own methodological repertoire, if you like.
And Rebecca, can you tell us a bit about the project you've been working on and the language you've been using?
Yes, so I work as part of a research network called the OA Tech Network, and that looks to help drive forward technology development for osteoarthritis research. And as a biomechanics researcher, we've been working on a potential creation of a biomechanics database. So a lot of different labs and different universities will collect biomechanics data from human participants, and it's really full, complex data. There's lots and lots of information that you collect from each participant each time they do different walking trials or different activities, and there's so much information that you collect from several different trials for several different people, and so it ends up being sort of like various very full data, but then all these different labs are collected in slightly different ways, and it's really difficult to get a really full picture. It would be a lot more rich if you would be able to combine all this data together. So we talked about R and looked at the possibility of that, and I have little to no experience with R, so was curious about how to just sort of get some basic knowledge of it without trying to throw myself into all the all the sort of like different ways that it can be used, because I know it's really adaptable. So it's sort of a good way for my own career development to learn this type of software, as well as specifically for this project to help develop it a little bit more.
And given that this was a really complicated project, what would you say you gained or learned in the past 2 months? Because it wasn't that long to be able to have maybe like a meaningful step forward, but what would you say that you gain or learn throughout the 2 months?
Yeah, there was probably a few things actually. I mean, one of them being that just actually like putting aside a bit of time a week to try and focus on something new and something different that's not part of all the regular grind of the research work was quite fun and exciting. So that was cool, where it's sort of like being in school again, or sort of like doing a class of something new again. You're like, oh, I'm learning a new language. But my sort of main take, I think, from it was doing some of the graph visualizations. And there's a lot of really cool graphs you can make with R. And I'm quite a visual person. I'm quite a visual learner. And so that was really great to work through and to see the graphs that you can create and how you could modify them and how you could read in different types of data, how you could reorganize data and then create a slightly different looking graph, or you could organize it differently, or you could reframe it differently. And it's amazing how data can look so different when it's in a different graph format. And actually, if you know how to create those graphs through R using some simple packages without actually having to go too deep into all the different R packages, then it can be really effective for creating some graphs. I try to use GraphPad for a lot of my PhD work, and actually you have to pay for GraphPad, but even though you get some nice graphs out of it. So actually being able to do some of these graphs on R is really useful, even just for creating cool graphs I enjoyed that aspect of it, actually. And that's probably one of the things that, aside from this project, I'll try and take forward a bit more, try and work more with R graphs, because I think actually they look really great.
That sounds like a really good thing to move forward with.
Yeah.
What about you, Yen? Was there any aspect that you particularly enjoyed?
So, I mean, I also didn't think, I would master the language within 2 months. And I kind of, before this, I kind of dipped in and out of some self-help resources. But I kind of thought, if I could have a little more scaffolding, that would be good. And the program really worked that way. So now if I'm going back to all the resources that I looked at before, I feel more comfortable navigating them. And so I was always comparing my R to my Italian, in which I can only say random phrases like, beware of the dog, or I'm lost, things like that. But now I'm kind of have that scaffolding that I had with this program. So now, even though now I will be working on my own, but still I could navigate more with a little more ease and a little more confidence than before. So I think that I really appreciated. And second thing is, it wasn't just about learning all the techniques, how to do, how to write a script, but also I got to discuss all these methodological questions with Mario. So, okay, now the computer is telling me all this, saying that this article is contains positive sentiments, but we know for a fact that it's a sarcastic piece. As a researcher, how do you reconcile what your computer is telling you and what you know intuitively? Those kind of bigger methodological questions, or how you interpret strings of words that the computer is saying are salient. So those are bigger questions, if you like, and reflecting on those with another person who's enthusiastic about research software. That was, I think, for me, I don't know, maybe it's a part of my day job kind of comes in, but I think that was one of the most enjoyable parts of the program for me.
Do you think that the journey in learning to code was what you were expecting when you started?
I think partly, because in terms of being able to grasp the different parts of a new language, but there's definitely a lot of parts of it that I just wouldn't really know until you start playing around with it. But I think being able to work with Heather, who's really experienced in R and has a lot of enthusiasm about it and its potential for different uses, then you can actually really see how far you can go. When we started reading in some biomechanics data in some quite strange formats, actually, there's a lot of different headings in the tables that we use, and so then that could be quite difficult to read in a script in the right way, and so that the data is then in a tidy format. And actually seeing her sort of being able to work through those, I could see how experienced she is and how that experience builds up in terms of what package you need to look at and then investigate that package and what functions that allows to an order this to read in this part and then this to read in this part and then this to eliminate this. And I think all that is sort of stuff that you never have any concept of and never have any idea about until you see it happening before your eyes. And it was really impressive, actually, to sort of watch that happen, because there's some stuff that you know you can do with a good guide and a good help guide that you can work by step through, step by step, and work through it yourself. And then there's other things that when you're working with someone else who's experienced alongside you, that you're like, I would never be able to do this without your help.
I really like the way you both have described learning a programming language like learning a language, and at least in a Spanish or French or Italian. And I was wondering if, when you're learning a new language, everyone has lots of tips and advice to give. What would be any resources of tips that you have found most helpful in learning a new programming language?
There was a bulk of resources that that Heather listed for me, and so that was my starting point. And we created a plan, a structure of different things that I would work through each week, and I work well with the plan. Like I mentioned before, there's actually a really large R community and there's a lot of resources available that I would never have any idea about. And you could probably find if you went hunting for, but when someone who knows about it pulls together the useful list for you, and then it's a lot easier to work through. And some of them are really user friendly, and actually the R Cloud primers, so it's all sort of like cloud based online forum for it. They were the most useful, I think, in terms of getting through some of the different categories of ways of using R. I guess the other helpful tool was having a mentor who has the knowledge, the experience, and the enthusiasm to help you work through it. And then that's the best tool anyone can have, really, for any sort of learning experience.
What about you, Yen? Any tips for our listeners who are just learning to code?
Yeah, I think that accountability aspect, I know you can see me like smiling, because every week before our meeting, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to tell him that, you know, my dog ate my homework. I had that feeling because it felt like, because September and October, those are the months, the busiest months in the academic calendar. So I wasn't able to put as much time I would have liked.
And how do you plan to incorporate your learnings into your work after this?
So the project itself, I'm hoping to write up a fuller piece. I know we've done a blog post and all that, but all the things that we've found, not just testing out the techniques, but actually the piece, the paper, I'm hoping to write up. And so that's one immediate thing. And now I will be able to do more work that combines different methods, and this would be definitely part of my toolkit now. And I will just carry on being a student of the language.
And finally, if you could give one piece of advice to others who are at the start of their journey of learning to code, what would that be?
Find a mentor. I think, that sort of accountability and mentorship is really difficult to recreate without the second body. And I think it makes a world of difference.
Yes, and also, find mentor. And if you become fluent, then you become a mentor as well. I think that's pay forward. So, I think at the moment I probably am not in a position to give out advice yet, but I'm aiming to become a mentor someday. And I think this whole, so you are working on your own project and, have someone who's kind of walking along your journeys. I think this was really a great formula, and I haven't really come across anywhere else. And I think this was really, to me at least, it worked really well. And I thank you.
Thank you, Yen, and thank you, Rebecca. I'm happy that the program worked well for all of you. It's nice to hear that you all got something out of it, and it seems like your mentors enjoyed working with you too. We are very grateful to them for having donated that time to the Research Software Camp. We've been posting some Learning to Code resources on the Software Sustainability Institute's blog, so if you're only starting your journey yourself, do go and have a look. We'll probably run another mentorship program as part of our next camp, so keep an eye out for updates on our website or sign up to the camp's mailing list. I'd like to thank again the volunteers and the mentors for having taken part of the Learning to Code mentorship program. I'd also like to thank Peter Schmidt for lending us his Code for Thought podcast to host this episode and for all his advice throughout. Thanks for listening!